Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Heroes of the Faith. Been talking about Daniel, man. What an incredible story. If you ever just get the book of Daniel, just start in chapter 1 and just take your time and go through, man. It will open your eyes to a lot of things. We're in Daniel chapter 4 today, and he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He's had another dream, and he keeps having them. You know, God keeps revealing himself to him. He believes, but then he backslides again. So he's had himself another dream. This time, he did not forget the dream. When he spoke again, he saw the wise men. He told them what the dream said. It troubled him. The wise men listened carefully, but they didn't know what the dream meant. The king sent away for Daniel again. Well, I got one guy to tell him what the dream is. So Daniel came to the king, told him his dream. He said, I saw a tree grow up in the earth. It became so great that the top of it reached to the sky. Underneath its branches, animals found shelter. In its branches, birds came and made nests. People came from all over the earth to eat its fruit. Then the Holy One came down from heaven and ordered, cut down this tree. Cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, scatter its fruit. Leave the stump of the tree with its roots in the ground for 7 years. Then all who live will know there is a God in heaven who rules over the kingdoms of the earth. God made Daniel understand what the dream meant, but Daniel was afraid to tell the king. For a whole hour, Daniel sat quietly, just staring. King's looking at him. He's looking at the king like, what is it? Man, he's deep in thought somewhere. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar said this, don't be afraid. Don't let the meaning of the dream trouble you. So Daniel took courage and said, well, the great tree in your dream is you. You become a great king throughout all the earth. Your voice ordering the tree to be cut down, that you will lose your kingdom for 7 years, that's God. During that time, you're going to live like an animal in the field. You're going to eat grass like an ox. The dew of heaven will be upon you. When you acknowledge that the Most God High rules over all the earth, then you will live among men again and be returned to your kingdom. Because Daniel knew that God was merciful, he urged, O king, please, please, king, take my advice. Please, king, leave your sin. Do what's right. Be helpful to the poor, that the days of your peace may be lengthened. And the king didn't listen to Daniel. A year passed and nothing changed. Perhaps Nebuchadnezzar forgot about what had happened before. He forgot the dream. The Bible says he grew even prouder of his kingdom and its beauty and the palace grounds, his famous city. One day he walked through the palace to admire it, and he said, is this not the great Babylon that I have built by my power for my glory? Then from heaven a voice answered, O King Nebuchadnezzar, and O King, said, to you it is spoken, your kingdom is taken from you. Immediately the king lost his mind. He thought of himself as a wild donkey and a wild animal. Because the people were afraid of him, they drove him out of the city. The king lived in the fields and he ate grass like an ox. His hair and his nails grew so long, he looked more like an animal than a man. Then after 7 years, God restored his mind. Then the king lifted up his eyes to heaven and thanked God, and he praised the Lord for his greatness. When the people of Babylon saw that their king was now in his right mind, they took him back. They honored him and they served him just as they had before. Then Nebuchadnezzar knew that God is greater than any man, and he praised and honored the king of heaven. Well, king lived, and then he died. Another king takes over. Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, had a great feast. He's come in. He's taken over. He's made the king maybe bigger and more powerful and more wealthier than ever. He invites 1,000 people and their wives to a party. The city was filled. Palace rang out with talking and laughing, everybody singing. When the wine was served, the king remembered the beautiful gold goblets that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the great temple in Jerusalem. These are from the Holy Temple. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar invaded it from the beginning years ago, he said, bring those cups that we can drink from. So they brought the cups to be used in the temple, and they brought to serve at this party. The servants obeyed. The goblets were brought, filled with wine, passed off to the guests. As they drank, they praised their idols of gold and silver. Belshazzar's heart was merry. He was living big parties. Suddenly, the king turned pale, and his laughter stopped in his throat. Great fear came over him, and his knees shook. There on the wall of the palace, he saw the fingers of a man's hand writing strange words. The words were so strange that the king could not read them. He said, what's going on? What does this mean? A terrible silence filled the banquet hall. There's over 1,000 people. It went dead quiet. Nobody said anything. Somebody's writing on the wall, and you can't see it. Everyone was afraid. Nobody could read the strange words that had been written. In a loud voice, the king cried out, bring me the wise men. And when they came, you know, a rich reward would be given to them. If you can tell them what it was. Throughout the palace, everybody talked about the strange writing. The queen's mother heard about it, told them that not even the wise men could read the words. So she went to the banquet hall, and where the king fell down, he's trembling and with his frightened guests. Oh, king, in this city, there's a very wise man you have forgotten about. When Nebuchadnezzar was king, that man was the master of all men. He was the master of all wise men. That's because the spirit of the holy God rests on him. Send for him, and he will tell you the meaning of these words. Everybody's got a mother. Even the heathen king had a mother. So the king was so glad to hear about somebody who could help him out. And he sent for Daniel right away. Daniel was now an old man. For a long time, he lived in Babylon, but he was little noticed by the kings that followed Nebuchadnezzar. When the wise old man was brought into the banquet hall, Belshazzar asked excitedly, are you the Daniel my father's captured from the land of the Jews? I've heard that the spirit of the holy God rides with you, that you have understanding of wisdom. My wise men cannot tell me the handwriting on the wall. If you will tell me, I'll give you rich gifts, and I'll give you much honor. Daniel was not interested in the king's gift, but he promised, I will read the writing, and I will explain its meaning. But Daniel remembered Belshazzar and the punishment God had sent on Nebuchadnezzar because of his sin and pride. Even though Belshazzar knew this too, he was very proud and despised the God of heaven. He even dared to drink wine from the goblets from the Lord's temple while his guests praised idols. Daniel said, because you have done these things, God has written on the wall these words. God has numbered your days, and the days of your kingdom he has brought to an end. You are weighed in the balances. You are found wanting. Your kingdom is divided and is given to the Medes and the Persians. Belshazzar commanded that Daniel be clothed in a royal robe, fastened a gold chain around his neck. Before all the guests, the king proclaimed the third highest ruler of the kingdom. Daniel's now the third highest man. He knows stuff nobody would know. But the very night, the kingdom of Babylon was destroyed. The Medes and the Persians invaded the city, killed Belshazzar, and put Darius on the throne. What is this? Well, this is Daniel chapter 6 now. King Darius is the new ruler. Got 120 princes to help him govern. Of all the princes, he had born in 3 presidents because Daniel was so wise, king made him the first president. Who's the president? Well, this Daniel, I'm the third king in this country, but he's moved to the top every time. The princes and other 2 presidents were jealous of Daniel. They watched him carefully. They wanted to catch him doing something wrong so they could report him to the king. As they tried, they could not find anything to report. Finally, they decided there's only one way we can find fault with him. It's when he obeys the laws of his God. But when the princes and the president described the way to trick Daniel, they went to the king. O King Darius, live forever, they said. The king said, why have you come? What do you want? Well, all the presidents, the princes, the governors, the counselors, the captains, they have met and decided on a law that you should make. For the next 30 days, have every person that makes requests only to you, anyone who makes requests to any god or a man except you, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Make this law that cannot be changed. Well, Daniel, you know, Daniel's sitting there. He had not helped plan this new law. He was not even with the group when they stood before the king. But the king did not realize this. So he liked to bring this important person. He said, listen, I'll make this law. So he announced to all the people, there's a new law. Daniel heard about the law, but he did not obey it. Just before, 3 times every day, he prayed at his window, which was open toward Jerusalem. Well, the nobles saw him, and they reported to the king, hey, you know this law you made? Somebody's not obeying it. Said, who? This Daniel, who was captured out of Judah, he's not loyal to you. He's not obeying your decree. How disturbed the king was. He's upset because he knows he's the third guy. He's a heathen king, but he knows Daniel's got something on him. Don't mess with Daniel. And so he brings Daniel in. So when the sun went down, the nobles entered the palace to remind the king of the new law which he made. He ordered him brought and thrown into the lion's den. The king told Daniel how sorry he was. Man, I'm sorry, but I'm like God. When I make a law, I got to obey it. Thank you. You know, the God you serve so faithful, will he surely save you from the lion's den, the king said. A stone was rolled over the lion's den. The king put a seal upon it so nobody would move it without his permission. With a heavy heart, the king goes to his palace. He refused to eat. He's fasting. He's not eating. He's not listening to music. He's not turning the radio. He's troubled because he loved Daniel. And he said, oh, man, I've shoved Daniel in the lion's den. At daybreak, he went to the lion's den, troubled and anxious. He called him, oh, Daniel. And here's what he said. Now, they made a song out of this. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God saved you from the lions? And the king listened. From deep in the, he heard in the pit, Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel. The angel has shut the mouths of the lions that did not harm me. God knew I had done no wrong. How glad the king was. Many pulled him up out of the thing. And the king commanded that those who had plotted against Daniel be thrown into the lion's den, and they had him for lunch. So, people say, what does that mean? Well, I don't care who you are, living in Daniel's day, living this day, God is the God who answers prayer. Jesus said 8 times in the New Testament, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be made full. I remember when I taught intercessory prayer years ago, people just sometimes, you know, you had 3 kinds of people come to intercessory prayer. 1/3 of the people that came to intercessory prayer on Monday night wanted to pray. They don't care who's in charge. They're anointed. They're coming to pray for the needs of the people. 1/3 showed up because they needed prayer. I hear they pray on Monday night. I need prayer, man. I'm in trouble. My money, my health, my wife, my kids. I need somebody to pray. So 1/3 came to pray. 1/3 because they needed prayer. And I think 1/3 came to just show off and just act weird. I said, guys, this is prayer. We're going to take requests to God, and he's going to answer them. But we're not going to cluck like a chicken, bark like a dog. We're not going to show off. This isn't a zoo. This isn't a circus. We've come to pray. And so I realized something. God answers prayer. It's not how holy you are. It's not how long you fasted, whether you shaved your head, sucked the rug, or lit a candle. God answers prayer. What kind of prayer? I remember when Peter was sinking in the water, man, the storm broke out, and he saw Jesus walking in the water. Hey, Lord, if that's you, call me to come out. And Jesus, well, come on out. So Peter gets out of the boat, walking on the water in the middle of a storm. But the Bible says halfway toward Jesus, he begins to look at the storm, and he got his eyes off of Jesus. When he got his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. And so he hollered out a one-word prayer, help. That's all it was. Help. And Jesus reached out and helped him. And the first words out of Jesus' mouth was, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye, why don't you doubt? Well, the way I look at it, there's 12 guys in the boat. At least one guy got out. Thing is, Jesus is talking to Peter. He's correcting Peter. Well, at least he got out of the boat. Why isn't he talking to the other 11? Well, they didn't do anything. I'm not talking to you. You're not doing anything. Why would I talk to you? You're not doing anything. I used to tell people, well, you're an athlete or you're in business. People only talk to people that are doing something. The coaches only correct players that are playing. If you're on the bench, you don't get talked to too much. And so God loved Daniel. And he said, what is it? Well, the king loved him. He said, but I got suckered into making a law I didn't want to make. But I'm like God, and I can't unmake it. And said, Daniel, is your God saved you? Oh, king, live forever. Oh, king, not only was it saved him, man. I mean, when he got in that lion's den, the lions shut their mouth. They just stared at him. But when he came out, they threw all the other guys in, and their mouths got open. Boy, we had us a feast that day. God loves to answer prayer. So that's why I love all the stories of the Bible. You got to learn how to start praying, man, because God is ready. He's ready. There's so many angels. The Bible says you can't count them. And they watch over God's word to perform it. So there's so many angels you've got around you right now. You can't count them. And they're ready to do something, but they obey the word of God. So when you pray, say what God says, not what you think, not what you feel. Say, quote the word of God. The Bible says in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, the thing will be established. Pray what God's already said, and God will show it. God bless. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.